For our scripture reading, we turn to Ezra chapter 7. The text consists of verses 21 to 23 of chapter 8. Chapter 7 gives some of the background history. So we'll start in at chapter 7 and then just read part of chapter 8. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra lived after the return from the Babylonian captivity and led a group back to Jerusalem, and that's what we read of here. Ezra 7, we begin at verse 1. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Zeruiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalem, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzzi, the son of Bucky, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. So that gives the line of Ezra back to Aaron, the priest. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. And all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. And then we turn to chapter 8. And skipping down to verse 21, the text is going to be verses 21 to 23. As they get prepared to go, and they have children also with them, we read this in verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava. Apparently that was like a meeting place. And there they were at the river of Ahava. And then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. And then jumping down to verse 31. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. So we'll stop reading at that point. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we've read a passage this morning that speaks of Ezra and those that are with him, about to head over to return to Jerusalem, and are conscious of their need of God's protection as they begin this journey. Conscious of the fact that there's many enemies. And as they begin the journey, they go to God. And they ask God to protect them. They ask specifically, in the words of the text, for a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. as they're leaving, also with their children, also with their stuff, they look to God. They trust in Him. They'd made the confession, Ezra had made the confession, that the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. And they went to God in prayer, and the Lord guided them. The Lord was with them. And that's what we read in verse 31. They depart, and the hand of our God was upon us, and He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. Now, there's times like this in one's life when one may be more conscious of the dangers. For one can imagine being at this time with Ezra and these people as they're about to go on the journey. What's going to happen on this trip? Who might come against them on this trip? And the fact that they've got their families with them, it's one thing for men to go and wonder who's going to perhaps attack a group of men when they travel, but for them to know they've got their families with them, and they've got their stuff with them, who might come against them? And in the consciousness of their need, they go to God and desire that the Lord would be with them. Well, we recognize that there's instruction here about the spiritual battle that we're engaged in. And there's sometimes we may be more conscious of that than at other times. The dangers for us and the dangers for our children. When they're younger, and there's so many physical dangers for our children. There's so many things they're not aware of. How quickly they could get hurt, seriously hurt. There's so many dangers, and our mind is constantly watching out for them. Thinking about them. Wanting them to be safe. And then as they get older, more conscious of all the different spiritual dangers that there are. There are also, when they're younger too, it's a spiritual battle one's whole life. But there's a multitude of enemies that would lead us and our children astray. That would assault us, that would assault our children, and we want our children to be aware of them too. Not only enemies you can see, but that Scripture tells us of them. An ongoing battle we're engaged in. And we are constantly to look to our God for guidance, for protection, to lead us. The prayer that is recorded here, we have similar requests, similar things that we say elsewhere in Scripture, like in the Psalms. We just sang from Psalm chapter 5. That's one of the Psalms that speaks of similar requests to what we read of here. That consciousness of the danger, one going to God and looking to God to show them the right way. The right way. Or the term can be perhaps translated as a straight way. A right way, a straight way. Or some have said in some places like an even way in which you don't stumble. But in the consciousness of the fact that this is a request for God to guide one in the spiritual battle. Not only concerned about people who may physically attack you, but also from the viewpoint of the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. We're to go to God in confidence that His hand is upon us for good. And that's another thing that we see here. Ezra confessed this. He confessed that God's hand was upon them for good, the ones who seek Him. And that they were to trust in God, knowing that God will avert evil, or who turn it to their profit. And they're to go forth turning to God in confidence. There will be adversity. There will be difficulties. But that God will be with us, and He will be with our children, and we are to go to Him with confidence, seeking the blessings that Christ has purchased for us. We consider this passage under the theme, A Right Way for Us and Our Children. We consider, first of all, the need. Secondly, the prayer. And thirdly, the protection. First, with regard to the need and Ezra's situation. Ezra was a priest, as we read. He was a scribe. He was one who taught the people the law of God. And we took note of the fact that there was specific reference to the fact of Ezra was resolved to do what the law said. He not only taught the law, but he was resolved to do it. We see in this history his desire that God's name be praised and that the people do what God has instructed them to do. It says he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. That's Ezra 7, verse 10. He led another group that returned from Jerusalem. This had been some time, some 50 plus, some roughly years, roughly in the 50-year time frame since the dedication of the temple. So there was the bigger group that had come back from Babylon, and there was the rebuilding of the temple. There was the dedication of the temple. Well, this was sometime after that that Ezra returned with a smaller group of people. And he asked the king of Persia. Now, even though they were coming back from Babylon, it was still the case that they would have Gentile rulers ruling over them. And now it was the king of Persia. He had asked the king of Persia if he could go, and he was allowed to go. And that's what we read in chapter 7. And we read of how what the king had said and all that was given to them. They received gold. They received silver and vessels for the worship of the God and of their God in Jerusalem. So they not only are returning, but they're going to return with all this wealth also. And they're going to travel some, it's said to be some 900 roughly miles. With all of this stuff, with their children, with their families, their wives, their children, the danger. Who might attack them? Should he ask for an army? Should he ask for some soldiers? In the book of Nehemiah, we read of Nehemiah going, and there were some soldiers too. We read of that in Nehemiah chapter 2. That was another time when Nehemiah comes back, and then there's the rebuilding of the walls. But in this instance, Ezra thinks about what he had said about the fact that he had made the statement that the hand of the Lord is upon them for good, all those that seek Him. And he says, I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us, because we had spoken unto the king, and we had said, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. And he had said, made that statement. And that His power, God's power and wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So he was conscious of the fact that he had said that. And so he didn't want to ask for a band of soldiers and horsemen. And instead, they were going to go without them, trusting in God. Conscious of the fact that they need God's guidance and protection. that there's many enemies that come against us, desiring not to turn aside from the right way when there are enemies that attack us. For there's the dangers in the sense of the troubles we might face and the difficulties we might come across. There's also the dangers in the sense that when times are difficult, sometimes people go the wrong way. Sometimes they do what they shouldn't do in a difficult time, and we don't want to do that. And we ask God to give us strength. We know there may be difficulties, there will be adversities, we know that. But we ask God to guide us and uphold us in the battle. Now, in our own situation, we're conscious of the fact that there are many, many dangers. There are many that would persecute us. And there were many that would lead us and our children astray. Some will be aggressively attacking us, verbally mocking us, ridiculing us, trying to get us to do what we shouldn't do. They ridicule us and make fun of us if we do what we should do. Then there's also those that are seem very kind, seem very nice to us, and yet the way they're telling us to go is not the right way. And not the right way for our children. And as our children grow up and mature, and they'll find people that are very nice to them and how they treat them and how they talk to them, and yet what they're telling them, what they're teaching them that the Bible says is not really true, what they're telling them that they should do is not correct. There's many dangers. Not only those from the outside that would come against us, but we also recognize within ourselves our own sin. And in the caring for our children, we're also concerned that we ourselves as parents, we want to give our children the instruction that we should give them. We want to set forth for them a good example like we're supposed to. Where it's easy for us to pursue pleasure, to pursue riches. It's easy for us to get so busy in all of the things that have to be done that we constantly in our mind go from this task to that task to that task, and we're not spending the time with our children, communing with them as we ought. That we can become busy about many, many things. There's times we can lose our temper. There's times we can judge rashly and unheard. There's many dangers with regard to the rearing of our children. We fall far short of doing what we ought to do. And we're concerned. We see our need for God to lead us. For God to guide us. For our Redeemer. Just like we had in the baptism form today, that the Spirit will, God tells us the Spirit will dwell in us and sanctify us, applying unto us what we have in Christ. The washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives. We need the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ within us and within our children. And we go to God in prayer. Ezra's prayer. We read that they fasted. A number of times we read of that in connection with prayer. It says they proclaimed a fast that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us. Earlier we read, as we mentioned, that he prepared his heart to seek the law of God. He was resolved to do what God told him to do. We're to come to God in prayer as those that are resolved to do what He says, though it may be difficult, though there may be opposition, that are resolved to do what God says and are looking to God to show them the right way to go and to give the grace to do it. To lead and direct in the right way, and also to grant Him the grace to walk in that right way. There's many similar passages, as was mentioned, in the Scriptures where we sing the same kind of language. We're conscious of the fact that when we sing the Psalms, which we do, when we sing versifications of the Psalms, and when we teach our children to sing versifications of the Psalms, as you children are familiar with Psalter numbers, which are versifications of these Psalms, and the Psalms very often speak about the spiritual battle we're in, the struggle that we face. For example, in Psalm 5, we read, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." See the similar request in a psalm. Lead me in thy righteousness. He's righteous. He's faithful. Lead me because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight. There's the idea. Make thy way straight before my face. For there's no faithfulness in their mouth. And then we start talking about the enemies. And we sang that. Lead, lest my feet be turned aside, make thy way before me plain. We don't want to turn aside. We come to God in the consciousness of the fact that we need Him. And we look to Him for the grace that we need. One other place in the Psalms, just one other. Psalm 143, verse 8, the last part of that verse. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Very similar request to be led into the land of uprightness in the consciousness of the danger. We read elsewhere of walking on the way and so that one does not stumble. Looking to God to lead us on the straight way, the right way, in the consciousness of the many enemies. Now that is a prayer that is prayed by someone that believes what Ezra confessed. He believed. He prayed this as one who believed that the hand of our God is upon them for good that seek Him. That in the dangers that we face, we're to come to God in prayer, believing that God's hand is upon us for good, those who seek Him. There may be times when we are tempted to think that we'd be better off if we deviated from what God told us, that in this or that specific situation, considering the dangers, we'd be better off if we deviated. And that's not true. God God's hand is upon them for good that seek Him. His wrath, His power, His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. There we have a clear confession of particular grace, too. Where some people will speak of God's grace being upon to all human beings. We're familiar with that. That's one of the teachings we warn you children about, that it's very commonly taught that God gives His grace to all human beings. That's not what we read here. God's hand is upon them for good. That's particular, those that seek Him. Those that forsake Him, His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. Well, we're to come to God as those believing this, that God will be with us, that God will grant us that which we need. And that God will be with us and He will be with our children. We know that does not mean that He's telling us that it's certain that all of our children head for head will walk in the right way. That's our desire, and that's what we keep looking to God for, to work in our children and our grandchildren. But we know that the promise is particular. We do know that. Yet we do see, we do believe that God continues to bless us in the line of generations. And we're concerned about the dangers. And we keep praying. We pray not only when our children are younger, not only when they're young people, but then as our children get older and they're adults and they're out on their own. And we're conscious of the dangers in our own day. Going to God in prayer, praying for them. And thanking God for the grace He is giving them. In the days in which we live, we're to pray to God, being resolved as Ezra was, to do what God says. There may be times we're afraid to do what God says. We think, well, if I do that, I know that's what I should do. But we can fear what might happen to us. We can fear what others might do to us. Whatever we fear, we're not to deviate from God. And God tells us, fear not, trust in the Lord. Lean not on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Look to Him. Pray as one who's resolved to do what God says. Confident He'll lead us. Confident He'll protect us. We're to ask for grace. We're to ask for His Spirit. We're to ask for grace in the consciousness that He'll certainly give us grace. And His grace will be sufficient. We may desire a certain trouble that would go away. And maybe it will, in God's providence. But we know that, and we confess, He'll avert evil, or He'll turn it to our profit. His grace will be sufficient for us. And how important it is not only for us to pray for our children, but also that we would be praying for us and our children and also leading them by example. So that our children see that we go to God. For our children do see how what we do when things get difficult. And we're conscious of that too. As we go through difficult times. And our children watch us. What are we going to do now? They're looking to us, wondering, now what do we do in this situation? They look at us. It's important, and we want to lead also by example. None of us can say we do that as we ought. But we look to God for the grace to do that. We want to do that. To lead by example. We go to God. We look to God in the consciousness that He'll be with us, even as He's been with the people of God in the past. And there may be some times when we're more conscious of the danger. We really need God all the time. There may be a time like it was right here for Ezra, that he's about ready to go across on this rather long journey with all of these things. What might happen? Well, they went to God. He's ready to begin the journey. Let's go to God in prayer. And the Lord did protect them. In the providence of God, they got to their destination. And we see how in this passage, another thing that's noted is how it repeatedly makes reference to God. Ezra, in the book here, we read that why was it that the king granted the request? And it says, the king granted of him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. As you go through this section, there keeps being a reference to God. It was in the providence of God that the king granted his request. And he said, and we read in verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart. He speaks of the providence of God. And then they arrived there safely. We departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month, and so on, to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. This is verse 31 of chapter 8. And he delivered us from the hand of our enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. The hand of our God was upon us. What a comfort going through life knowing the hand of your God is upon you for good. For good. Your Father. Your Heavenly Father who loves you, who sent His Son to die for you. His hand is upon you for good. What a comfort that is. And repeatedly making a reference to that. And how important it is for us too. Our children grow up hearing that. How when things go well, we make reference to the guidance of God that He gave us. That we give thanks to God. And when we run into difficulties, we talk about how God gives us grace sufficient for this difficulty. Constantly making a reference to our God. All things work together for good to them that love God. We're to come to God in confidence when we pray. He will lead us. He will lead us and He will give us the strength we need. You know, a New Testament passage where there's a similar idea with regard to a danger is when the disciples were afraid because the Jews wanted to kill Jesus. And Jesus said, let's go into Judea again. And His disciples said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus said, if any man walk in the day, this idea of the walking and the way, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, That's another idea with the idea of a straight way or a right way or perhaps a even way in which one doesn't stumble. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there's no light in him. They're looking at the dangers and thinking, they're trying to kill you. You're going to go there. He was going to do what he was to do. He says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. We're to go forth in the confidence that God gives us the light that we need. He'll protect us. We see the light of the world. The one that doesn't stumble is the one who sees the light of the world. And he guides us. He shows us from the scriptures what we should do. And he records in the scripture his promises. And he tells us to look to him, believing the promises. He guides us, he comforts us by his word, that his spirit keeps bringing the word to our remembrance. He delivers us out of our distresses. With confidence, we're to go forward, leading our children, believing he'll be with us. He'll be with our children. He's made his covenant with them. An everlasting covenant. What a comfort it is that we confess that. That we're not saying that the covenant that's made with our children is a conditional covenant. It depends upon them fulfilling some condition. That we say, no, it's only with the elect children. It's an unconditional covenant. He will be with them. These are his children. He will guide them. He will work through us to give instruction to them and to care for them. And it's good for children to be thankful to God for the parents that God has given to them. May we look to God in our need. In the consciousness, as we read this, and as we see the references in the Psalms and elsewhere in Scripture, we recognize that we're not always as conscious of the danger as we ought to be. That on the one hand, we should be very conscious of the many dangers. But also, God says, fear not. Go to God. We're to be conscious of the dangers and keep going to God to guide us, to guide our children, to provide for us all that we need for body and soul. That our desire is that God's name might be praised. Ezra, the group going back, was going to be, as they go back, with the things that were for the worship of Jehovah God. May we and our children together praise his name. And may we encourage one another in these last days and go forward in confidence that our Lord will guide us throughout this life and will grant us the strength that we need. May we look to him. May we glorify him. And may we praise his holy name. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for thy grace, thankful for the mercy thou hast shown to us and also to our children. Grant us grace to do what thou dost call us to do. That is our desire. We are resolved to do what thou hast told us, even as we vow to do that. Grant us the grace we need. Grant us strength in these last days when there are so many that would lead us and would lead our children astray. Protect us, O Lord. Guide us. Show us the way. Grant us the grace to walk in that way led by thee to thy honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.